Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
It's 18 minutes to 8 o'clock, my favorite time of the morning. A conversation with Adam Gilchrist and a world view. Good morning, Adam. Hope you're well. You know what's happening, Adam? We're only 8 points away from the top of the EPL table. You and I, Manchester United fans. Must be a great sporting weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least, wasn't it? Liverpool and Manchester City's result and Arsenal's results, come to think of it. So all three. I don't think Manchester United fans should be dreaming of the title. It's just better than it was, eh? Let's just go with that.
But let's start with the very important news from around the world. European snow deaths. There have been dozens of avalanches in and around Austria and Switzerland over the last while.
Yeah, just 30 avalanches in Austria on Saturday alone, more after that, more in Switzerland. And of course, I mean, most avalanches go unnoticed because it's a mountain that nobody's near. Some snow comes down. It tends not to affect human beings, except, of course, when it's near ski resorts. So this is the point. So 10 people killed, not on those little sort of yellow runs or even the red runs or even to some extent the black runs. We're not talking about the ones that, you know, I would gingerly be going down myself, but this is for perhaps more adventurous skiers or those who are doing the full length of the mountain or doing cross country or going off piste. That's the point. And so there are any number of alerts now across the Alps, in particular the Austrian and Swiss Alps, after these deaths, and it hasn't really stopped people. I mean, I guess that's one of the things that, you know, you can get a shark warning, but if you're booked to go on holiday, you're going on holiday. And to some extent, it's like that with skiing. You're not going to get your money back because you're suddenly worried about an avalanche. But I guess it's how far you go with the skiing. And these are all skiers who have been affected. So all people, in theory, just having a good time on the snowy slopes of Europe. And yet, the flip side of that is this time of the year in particular, you get a buildup of snow, you get fluctuations in temperature, and boom, down it comes.
And then it's been gripping my attention for most of the weekend. Weather balloon or surveillance system? China's big balloon shot down by US fighter jets over the weekend.
Yeah, and it's all a question of, what was that balloon? What was that balloon doing? So it's been shot down, which is in itself is quite extraordinary to think. They shot a balloon down and they pondered long and hard to the Americans, but eventually the US Air Force acted. It was over the Atlantic at that stage. I think they were a bit worried at one stage. It was over cities. And although in the films, they never seem to worry about where the debris lands, I think in real life, they actually do have to consider that. So now it's the US Navy and divers who are trying to recover the wreckage of this balloon, because the whole point is that America believes it was a spy balloon spying specifically on some of their installations. You think of the big US Navy base at Richmond, Virginia. It wasn't very far away from that, and plenty of other sites too. They think it was the Chinese spying on them. China insists it was a weather balloon that had gone off course. The point is, once they get hold of the wreckage, assuming that they're honest about what they find, then we'll know. Do you know what? Immediately, 99 Luftballons is coming into my head. The red balloon that gets shot down and everyone thinks it's a nuclear weapon and Armageddon starts from the old Neymar song. I don't think we're quite at World War III over a balloon, but there's certainly a difference of opinion.
Well, a weather balloon that gets launched over the South Chinese Sea and then over the Pacific, then somehow managed to do a 90-degree turn up that then goes across the Bering Strait, across Alaska, and then over Canada, then over mainland continental U.S., hovers over Montana for a while, and then slowly makes its way to the Carolinas. Must take very clever scientists to manage wind patterns that goes over very, very key areas and parts of the United States. Montana is where the U.S. keeps its intercontinental or some of its intercontinental missiles. So very, very interesting for a weather balloon.
I suppose is that thought, isn't it? If it even if it was a surveillance spying balloon, controlling it would have been blooming difficult, you'd have thought. But was it just a haphazard journey? Mm. You're right. There is a sort of abrupt right turn at one stage, but then wind does that. Mm. I don't know. Mm. The jury's out.
And then finally, the Danish conundrum: to keep a national holiday or to spend that money on defence.
Would you protest if they took away one of your public holidays? Perhaps it would depend which public holiday. Yes. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the idea. Hang on a moment. They gave us this day off and now they want it back. And that's the deal with the Danes. 50,000 of them have taken to the streets in Copenhagen alone because of a Christian holiday. It's the Great Prayer Day. I don't believe many countries do. Any countries have this? It's falls 4 weeks after Easter. And the deal is that everyone gets a day off in Denmark. It's a Christian holiday. So it dates back to 1686. Here we are, therefore, 337 years later. Does the maths add up? Anyway, 337 years later. And essentially, Denmark has worked out that in order to hit their NATO target of spending 2% of national income on defense, in order to keep supplying Ukraine with weapons and munitions, and they've done it in a small way so far, but still to keep doing that, they need to find money. And to find money, what's the balance? Mm. Taxes up, or they reckon scrapping a public holiday will put enough coffers, enough money back into the coffers that they could afford, therefore, to hit their targets, to hit their defense targets. But you know what? The loss of a holiday. We don't have so many national holidays in the UK. They take one away, I'm out in the streets. I don't care what the reason. I'm out in the streets. I want my holiday.
Well, South Africa has 12 public holidays. And there are some who say that is too many. We don't even rank as the highest number of public holidays. I think this Sri Lanka is something like 22, 25 public holidays. There is concern, though, in South Africa, if we do it more like the British system of bank holidays, and we have it, you know, on the margins of the week, so either the Monday or the Friday, because a lot of productivity is lost if we have the occasional Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday public holiday. Yeah. So there's thought, let's rethink this. Let's keep it on the margins of the week so people can still enjoy the fruits of their toil, but at the same time, not this massive impact to the economy. Adam Gilchrist, looking forward.
I was going to say, you're absolutely right. Yeah, because Monday means you get a long weekend. Tuesday, that's not so good. You have to go back to work in between.
Well, in South Africa, then you have people taking off the Monday as a spot of leave, which means you have a 5-day long weekend. We know all about calculations of how to get the most of our holidays here in South Africa.
Got you.
Adam Gilchrist, looking forward to tomorrow with The Worldview. Chat to you then, sir.